Hello and welcome to a new episode of the special coverage of the situation in Lebanon. As you see here, we continue to stay in our location just on the southern suburbs of Beirut. After a week about attempted ground incursions from the Israeli entity, the Lebanese resistance Hezbollah has hit hard inside the occupied land, even sending explosive drones down deep into downtown Tel Aviv. And also for the first time, they issued a statement. I'm going to go ahead and give the quick summary of what they said. These homes and military bases are targets for the rockets and air forces for the Islamic resistance. And we warn settlers against being near these military gatherings for their safety until further notice. It seems that they are true to their promise, the Lebanese resistance. And as Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah once mentioned, it is time for the Israeli entity to perhaps take some of their own medicine. Joining me today is Dr. Mohsen Saleh, academic and political commentator. Welcome, Dr. Mohsen.
Thank you. Good morning to you and to your audiences and to all the crew.
Thank you very much. So let's go ahead and start with our guest today, Dr. Mohsen. Dr. Mohsen, as we saw yesterday, these are just the latest developments. As we know, the situation in Lebanon is extending further, perhaps, than anyone expected. It seems that the Islamic resistance remains true to its promise to, as we know, our beloved martyr, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, that the settlements in the northern occupied Palestine, the settlers will remain empty. And also the war on Gaza and Lebanon, if it does not stop, they will continue their persistence on defending the lands. Is this not
true? Always the promises of the Islamic resistance come true, and they interpret it into an actions inside the territories of the Tel Aviv and Haifa. And these retaliations, of course, against the Israeli gang, against the Israeli army, for the Lebanese, their attacks on the Lebanese civilians and citizens in Beirut and in other places. So the resistance is always committed to its promises and to fulfill these promises in the battlefield, in the south, and in retaliating in these drones and other also missiles which will reach. And for the first time, they attack some places, explosive areas, and also some of them will touch the civilians of the colonizers inside Palestine. So I guess the situation is taking another place, is taking another phase, is taking another also promise that will stick in the minds of these gangs in the United States and in Palestine, who are occupying Palestine, I guess, in order to say one thing, that you cannot defeat the resistance. The resistance is awake and can fulfill its promises and can do and hurt you. And this is probably will regain or will take back the resistance into the hearts and the minds of the Arabs and the Palestinians and also all the freedom fighters in all over the world. So we are really taking the front into another accelerations and other way of thinking, because the Israelis wanted this war to be open and to be the great war, because Netanyahu is trying to say, well, this battle is a battle of existence and the battle that will create a new Middle East. And they have been trying this try from long ago, 2006, their aggression on Lebanon in order to change the Middle East. And also Gondoliza Rice came and said that this is the contracts of the new Middle East.
Yes.
So we are talking about a mentality that's very, very backward and very weak in order to remember the victories of the resistance in Lebanon, in order to understand the doctrine and the faith and the battlefield and the training and the way of thinking and of all that, the leadership and the control of the of the battlefield, yeah, in the south especially. So we are here to we'll see in order to view what's going on now in this phase after the assassination of the most greatest leader probably in the history of the Middle East. We are talking about the Middle East after 200 years, who led the resistance into many victories from 1993, 1996, yeah, 2000 and 2006, and remained the ethos of the resistance and the ethos of the people, and they always believed in his personality, in his loyalty, in his sincerity, in his leadership, and in his understanding of the conflict between these occupiers and the freedom fighters, between the peoples of the region and the these gangs coming from all over the world.
Well, Dr. Muhsin, I do have to ask you, you did mention a lot of very interesting points. As someone who lives in Lebanon, and with everything we see from the supporters of the Hezbollah resistance group, perhaps this statement that they actually did put yesterday, it was the point that many people have been looking for, the breaking point. As we know, the Israeli entity has been targeting ambulances, has been talking targeting refugees, etc., etc. So it's basically playing at their own game, is it not?
This is playing their game because they have bankruptcy in dealing with the resistance in the south.
Yes.
Because they are trying to invade, they are trying to penetrate, they are trying to go here in this place from Labuna to Kfar Kila and Adaisi and Yarun and Marun, and their attempts failed to penetrate the front of the resistance there. That means we can really count on the resistance in the south that they can retaliate. The Israelis, they have this great technology from the United States, so they can assassinate, they can kill the civilians, and they can, technologically speaking, but in the battlefield, I guess the upper hand is for the resistance and the freedom fighters there, because they have been preparing for this battle for a long time, and they are ready to defeat the Israelis like what they did in 2006. And the Israelis and Netanyahu, of course, and the Americans, they cannot really achieve or execute what they have been trying to do in order to put down all these peoples in the region, and especially in Lebanon. That's why they came from Gaza, in order to tell the Lebanese, okay, we are now, you are first. Now we're gonna ruin you. We're gonna demolish all the buildings. We're gonna assassinate the leaders, and we're gonna do. But they have forgotten that this resistance always and throughout its history, from the beginning 1982 and till now, they say that every freedom fighter, every man in the resistance is a project, is a martyr, a live martyr, in order to fight the Israelis. The Israelis did not understand this mentality, because they have been dealing with these peoples, and some, of course, I'm talking about the regimes who submitted, who surrendered to the orders and dictations of the United States and the Israelis, and they want to naturalize this. That means the resistance and its ambience and its people and all the believers in the resistance, they cannot really go behind these regimes, and they cannot commit themselves or surrender to this will. They have this opportunity, historical opportunity, that let them give the leadership to the resistance, who historically bring back or brought back all the benefits of dignity, ownership, and the land as well. And also they have regained independence and sovereignty, but these regimes are going counter-revolution, counter-resistance, in order to say what we are here. So it's a long conflict, it's a long struggle for freedom and for liberation, to liberate Palestine, Al-Quds, and the resistance is committed to the sayings of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, may peace be upon his soul and his spirit and his ideas and his body, because he was the greatest among all. But I guess the resistance, everybody of the resistance, from the resistance, is Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, representing representing his goals, his project, his aspirations, his spirit of for freedom and liberty and liberation. We are on the right path, so people are not afraid.
Exactly.
From losing the compass, from losing the line, from losing the momentum of their resistance. We are doing fine in spite of all the agonies and sadness that we have been going through, especially of the assassination of the leaders, especially Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
Well, Doctor, as you mentioned there, our morale is definitely high despite everything that we have been through. I do want to go ahead a bit to what we saw in the Israeli entity yesterday, which completely reflected the opposite, the fear simply of these drones that did go downtown Tel Aviv. We saw the cameras, we heard them screaming, the settlers there. Could you perhaps describe to our viewers or elaborate to our viewers a bit the fear that the Israeli entity, the settlers there, are now living? What could perhaps be the repercussions of this if not just the Lebanese resistance, the Yemen, Iraqi, Iran, etc., if they do continue these type of attacks, what could we see in the entity?
I think the Israelis are afraid. Netanyahu tried to give them, by assassinations and by a coward actions, give them some breath. But I guess the resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine, continuing their operations in Gaza and in South Lebanon. And of course, the Iraqis are stating many statements about their confrontation to this entity. Also, the Ansarullah in Yemen. We are going through this unity of gun and this unity of the factions of the resistance in order to liberate Al-Quds. And I guess the resistance in Gaza, feeling that they are powerful and they are strengthened by the support of the Lebanese resistance and Yemen and Iraq, they are doing fine. The Jabalia in the north of Gaza, still they are fighting. Yes. And doing many operations against them. In Lebanon, the Lebanese, the Israeli army cannot go through even steps or meters, although they have made 100 raids on Labuna, and they could not really penetrate or go through the Lebanese territories, even steps. And they have really received or killed by the resistance, and they are there. The resistance is there. So
exactly.
That's why they are angry. And you see, even Netanyahu, the prime minister, what's so called, of this gang in this occupation, sent a letter to the Lebanese to be far-fetched from the from the resistance and from Hezbollah, and they have striked against Beirut, and they are trying to develop this battle. But however, I would say that Netanyahu cannot succeed, and the settlers who promised them to bring them peace and tranquility and security will not succeed, because the resistance can hit Tel Aviv and can hit Herzliya around Tel Aviv,
yeah,
and also any place in Palestine. And as some people in Hezbollah said, that we are in the beginning. So that means there are many and great developments that will converse or bring back the momentum for the resistance and its power, and will show its fitness and strength in order to bring back all the Arabs, all these Arabs, Arab people especially, and the Islamic people, and these people around the world, that resistance can be counted, can be trusted, and to be faithful, that this resistance will continue in order to achieve what we have been aiming at, aspiring at, in Lebanon and in the Arab world. Struggle for freedom cannot stop. Struggle for liberation from occupation cannot stop.
Well, Doctor, you did bring up there Netanyahu. Some people have described Netanyahu as the man of the hour. Some people have described him as he sees himself as a prophet right now. He has received all the green light to do as he wants. And with everything that we see him doing, we even have seen a new list of targeted assassinations on Channel 14. Where do you see Netanyahu at the moment?
Netanyahu thinks of himself now that after these assassinations, as he is the leader of Israel, historically speaking, that he is one of its heroes, historical hero, and he wants to make this great Israel and occupy and invade other places that will have been liberated by the resistance in Lebanon and even in Palestine.
Yes.
Gaza was liberated in 2005, and Sharon, his power and his influence could not bring back the security for the Israelis in Netzarim and other settlements. Now Netanyahu thinks that through some days, 15 days or 16, that can regain his power and regain his confidence in the cabinet. But I guess he is mistaken. He's dead wrong.
Yes.
That the resistance, although Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said, "You are laughing now," but the winner who laugh at the end.
Exactly.
And we, I guess that we are in this track that Netanyahu will have great sadness when he feels, when he thinks, when he sees that the resistance is defeating him, defeating his army. His army is fleeing the battlefield and will not be able to continue. So I guess Netanyahu, who thinks that he is a hero, he is the representative, great representative of the Satan, of the evil doers,
yes,
of the evil of the West, also of this way of thinking and philosophy and way of creating problems and chaoses for the other peoples in order to live in peace and tranquility. From now on, I guess the resistance would not let this gang peacefully living in peace and live in security. Especially the Israelis declare this war, and they have to take or to shoulder the responsibilities of their crimes, of their killing of the civilians, of damaging the buildings of the people, and for their aggression and hostilities against these atrocities, actually, against the Palestinians in Gaza and in Lebanon.
Well, Doctor, I do want to move over a bit to the major Iranian retaliation that we did see on the Israeli entity. We know the U.S. is warning Netanyahu against attacking until they further discuss. As we know, the Israeli cabinet, or mini cabinet, actually postponed their vote. Gallant delayed his visit to the U.S. And just the United States has indeed imposed fresh sanctions targeting Iranian oil exports over the Islamic Republic's strikes against Israel. I mean, is this just their way to do something at the moment, the U.S.? What are they trying to attempt here?
Well, I don't think that Netanyahu is keener than Biden and Harris and Trump for the interests of the West and the United States in the region. So they want to wipe out the resistance from the region, like Netanyahu exactly. Netanyahu is the hammer of the United States and the West in order to put a line for Iran and for its power, growing power in the region, because the ideas and the methodology and way of thinking and the doctrine about colonization and East Western civilization, materialism, and this greediness for oil and for money and for dollars. I guess the Netanyahu is very sincere with the West. That's why he went to the Congress and said, "So we are defending the Western civilization." That means the idea, the core idea of the West and the United States is to put down these peoples who are trying to exceed their power. Their power, I mean, the Western power, yeah. And be independent and have sovereignty and have their wealth and resources for their own benefit. So they have to steal all these resources in the Arab world, and whoever tried to call for freedom and for equality and for even freedom of speech or democracy, whatever, they don't like that. Iran is one of the best democracies in all over the world. Iran is trying to defend the issues and the cases of, like Palestine, against occupation.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
Just issue, just the question, just a way of thinking, they don't like that. That's why Netanyahu is trying to go afar and create a new Middle East according to his ideas and his plans to make Israel the greatest power in the region. But since Iran is the greatest power and they have this philosophy for life that is against or counter the Western and the American way of thinking towards peoples in all over the world, even from Venezuela to Lebanon and to Palestine, I guess that's why I guess the struggle against this occupation is a must, is a duty. The Americans, they have probably slightly different opinion about the way how to deal with the issues like Iran. That's the difference. Only it's a detail issue.
Well, Doctor, when you're mentioning how to deal with the situation with Iran, as we know, the U.S. has time after time ensured that Israel has the right to defend itself, and Israel itself has said that we promise we're going to respond to Iran's retaliation. Do you indeed, from everything that we've seen up until now, do you indeed believe that they are going to respond? And if so, how will they respond?
The Americans or the Iranians or the...
The Americans, of course, with the Israeli entity.
They have, I guess, I've heard last night that there were a great discussion or... heat discussion between Biden, Netanyahu, Kamala Harris,
yeah.
In the presence of Kamala Harris, the deputy president or the vice president in the United States and the candidate for presidency now. I think they have to do something. They have to do something,
okay.
Because they have promised Netanyahu in his way of thinking, in his personality, obnoxiousness and all this schizophrenic way
exactly.
of thinking. So he is trying to say, well, so we are gonna hit. But I guess their strike gonna be very slow, and the minimum they can do in an open place, so that will not call for an Iranian retaliation that would really shake the stability and shake what Netanyahu is trying to do, and shake also this whole entity and make new opportunity for the resistance powers and factions to continue through this channel. I'm confident that the Iranians can they have this this trick or this maneuver to protect themselves in a very delicate way and very smart way.
Well, Doctor, as you mentioned there, I mean, the U.S., again, as I mentioned a moment ago, has warned Netanyahu of carrying out any attack or strike or response to the Iranian retaliation. Do you believe if Netanyahu, as you're mentioning, the way, the delusional way he thinks, if he does, what are they scared about the U.S.? Are they scared about perhaps this or the wrong strike, the wrong attack, being perhaps a spark to a regional war?
Absolutely, that's true. They are afraid from a regional war. They are afraid from Iran to hit the oil wells in the Gulf. They are afraid from the instability in the Gulf, where their bases, where their wealth, there were resources, there were despotic regimes that belong to the White House, probably more than Netanyahu. Probably more than Netanyahu. Yeah. Netanyahu takes money, takes guns, takes arms, and creates problems. And these regimes give money, give resources, give fresh money to the United States, and their money in the banks in the United States, in New York and Washington. And they also support the American diplomacy in the region. And they are trying to put down the Palestinians, to suppress the Palestinians, to be silent, even with all these massacres in Gaza. So I guess Netanyahu tried to bring the United States into a battle in the region. But the United States, as you know, there is a deep state. There is also the Pentagon. And other than Blinken wants the whole administration to go behind Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, because he has this Jews idea or spirit that would make him belong to the Zionism more than the Americanism, and this is probably even Kissinger wasn't like that. This Jew wasn't like that, and he once said that I want to serve Israel without knowing that I am serving them. And he tried to really through Camp David and other places. They were differing on some points, but they were in a strategic manner. They were, of course, agreeing with each other because Israel is a state of the states, one of the super states in the United States. Yes. And now Biden can do nothing with Netanyahu. He is he's eager to win the presidency for Harris, of course, and for the Democratic Party, of course, United States. As you know, these two parties are trying to make their way of thinking, especially with Trump. So they differ in the way of or the methodology of dealing with the issues like the Palestinian issue. And they have done nothing for the Palestinians. They have supported the Israeli power in order to make it able to impose its policies in the region. I am not sure if this administration, especially this administration, because it's more Zionistic than Netanyahu,
yes.
So they are cooperating in order to weaken the spirit or the ethos, as I said, of the people in the region. But I am still confident that the spirit of Sayyid Nasrallah and the resistance in Lebanon made a new way of thinking, made a new ethos, a new spirit, a new idea, a new methodology also, and overall make us powerful, and in the all the arenas can do something. And this phenomena which been created in the 90s till 1000 I guess it's working. It's working. And the Americans, they and the Israelis, can they can count, although they are, technologically speaking, they are super in this.
Definitely more
but
advanced.
Our yeah. spirit is superior.
Well, Doctor, just this morning, actually, Nicaragua has broken off diplomatic relations with Israel over the ongoing atrocities in Gaza. Do you believe this could be perhaps the beginning of the ball rolling? Could we perhaps see other countries start to break off their relations with the Israeli entity?
You have to see the connectivity between these regimes and the United States, because the United States is the first superpower in the world, supporting Israel and threatening others if they take any decision or resolution in the UN and the Security Council, and they they did not listen to Macron. Even Macron, one of the great powers, and they have veto in the Security Council, but they have not listened in order to reduce the support, especially in the arms, in the military arms. But the United States did not listen. On the contrary, they have put sanctions on some of the Iranian civilian firms or institutions. I guess the United States is deadly doing for Zionism and for, of course, its interests in the region. So. I hope that some countries like South Africa, some of the Arab countries like Egypt and other countries in the world, all, of course, Brazil, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Salvador, all these countries, I guess, if they go through this step, will be good. For the interest of the resistance, for the interest of the people, that to feel that there are people in the world, they think justifiably, and they think that they support the people who are free in their mind. We used to demonstrate against the Americans when the Americans were bombing Hanoi and yeah. Vietnam in the 70s, yeah. in the beginning of the 70s. And now we hope, and I hope, that all the elites and also the students, and some of them in the United States, even in France, in London, in other places, they demonstrated in order to declare that they support the Palestinian cause, the Palestinian people, and the Palestinian resistance, and they did not condemn Hamas or do against Hamas or the Palestinian issue. So we are in the right track, but it might take some time and difficulties in order, but we need some connections with these elites and with these states. And who would do that? That's the question.
Well, as you mentioned, having some elites, as we know, Iran has actually been going to neighboring countries. Iran has been going over, and as the Iranian president said, Iran is set to sign agreements with neighboring countries on cooperation in the fields of gas, road and electricity, as well as border markets just next month. So does this seem to be Iran's strategy at the moment?
Well, it seems that Iran is preparing itself for these two scenarios, the political one, the diplomatic one, yes. and also the cultural one, let's say cultural one.
Of course.
And also preparing itself to help, to support the resistance in all means, in missiles, in the United Nations, with others. And also to prepare itself to retaliate if somebody hit or strike against Iran, probably in a dangerous strike against Iran. Iran has to do a lot of things, and there are many scenarios in this case which Iran has to think in a very multifaceted way, yeah. and a multidimensional way also, because Iran is. Let's say the only country probably that was the first to create or to make a Palestinian embassy in Tehran in the first victory of the revolution during the times of the days of Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon him, who also called for the eradication of this cancer in the body of the Ummah. So we are talking about option or way of dealing with issues different from others. It's a school of thinking that would not acknowledge or say yes to the existence of this occupation. So when you say occupation, you cannot confess or you cannot say it deserves existence. So that's why supporting resistance is part of this doctrine.
Well, Doctor, if we come a bit back to Lebanon, there's been a lot of talk about Resolution 1701. Some people claim that it is dead, while other people are saying it is still applicable now. What do you believe?
I think it depends on the balance of power.
Yeah.
So in the Lebanese government want to implement 1701. The United States also, Blinken contacted or called the parliament speaker and the prime minister Miqati,
yes,
and talked to them who want to implement 1701. And of course they said we need that, we want that. But the problem is that the Israelis say, well, we have to have changes, ameliorations, or even create a new resolution, because they felt they are powerful, they can do, they can hit, they can strike, they can kill, they can massacre, they can, without any consequences, without bringing them into the court. Even the international justice court, they did not call for a ceasefire, they did not call for bringing for example Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant and Ben Gvir and its settlers who have been killing the civilians in West Bank into justice, into trial at least. So we have this support of the United States, of course, preventing, hindering any resolution from implementation. And of course, we know thousands of violations from Israel violated the 1701 without even condemnations sometimes from the Lebanese government,
exactly,
or from the Arab states.
Simply saying that Israel has the right to defend itself. That's all they keep repeating.
Well, the occupation has no right to defend itself.
Exactly.
Occupation, it's occupation. It's well known in the United Nations Charter that the occupier cannot defend itself, cannot commit crimes against the people under occupation. So we are swifting, or we are changing, we are distorting the laws of the United Nations, because we see this tendency or instinct, the American instinct for killing others, for hegemonizing others, for dominating the region. Especially they think that by depending on these regimes, the Zionists and this gang here and there in the Arab world, they think that they can fix, they can do in the region what they whatever they want, whatever they plan, whatever. Every 100 years they change the plan, they change the map, they change the mental map even of the
without
the elites.
Any kind of consequences,
without any move, without any condemnation, without any saying a word against these plans or these maps. They do the plans and the maps, and others implement these maps and do accordingly. And some of these regimes and elites, they behave and they think whatever the Americans want and their dictations and their way of thinking and their philosophies. Unfortunately, the resistance was a reaction for occupation.
Yes.
In Lebanon and in Palestine. They distort even the word. They say about the resistance, terrorism, and they say about the occupier is can defend itself.
Exactly. Or
they switch. They distort. They forge new words. I don't know how could they do the right into wrong, into false, and the false city into
exactly. As
into
you mentioned,
right.
Doctor, I just want to remind our viewers a moment. Just yesterday, the Israeli entity actually attacked the UN in Naoura. They also attacked
Absolutely.
And killed, I believe, three Lebanese soldiers who were on a checkpoint there. And again, no one has said nothing. So I believe perhaps Macron or some other people said we will not accept this. But this is, again, something that they continue to repeat, simply.
Well, they say we cannot accept it, we don't accept it. This is something you should not do, like a teacher in the school. You cannot do this, you can do this. And the Israelis don't listen. And this gang in Palestine, they don't listen to any of these Western voices, especially the people who are participating in the UNIFIL. And they do a lot of attacks, a lot of wars. They prevent them from this area, or they do harsh criticism for the UNIFIL. And I guess some journalists today wrote that the Israelis want to kick out, to let them go,
yeah.
the UNIFIL from the south, because they wanna commit crimes against the Lebanese. Or, anyhow, I guess in the south there are a few people, but the resistance is there. Can teach these Israelis a great lesson in how to behave with the people, and they killed many of them last 2 weeks. One day, 22 soldiers were killed, and also they are creating this chaos in Tel Aviv
exactly.
and Haifa, and this is the least we can do against this barbarianism of the Israelis.
Well, Doctor, as you also said there, this is perhaps, I mean, before when the resistance actually retaliated onto parts in the Israeli entity, it sometimes took perhaps days or weeks, or sometimes they didn't even admit to any kind of casualties. This time, specifically in the attempted ground incursions, they are. Why is this specifically? Is it something they cannot hide anymore?
It depends on the situation. It depends on the discernment of some of the journalists in the south. Because yesterday, for example, one of the Israeli journalists said, "Well, Halevi cannot tell you about the helicopter that threw its ammunition on the Israeli territories
yes.
because there is something had happened and they won't tell you why and how. And they won't tell you about the killed army or the how many were killed in the battlefield in the south on the borders in order to take a picture or to take a resort to a place where they can take a picture. Or I guess there are many enigmas in this situation. Of course, the Israelis are trying to cover all their losses in order to say, well, we are killing these and these and these, and we have no losses. One wounded, injury, one injured. This is, of course, the Israelis won't understand and won't accept. Later, sooner or later, the losses of the Israeli army, especially in the northern front, I guess, will say about it, will acknowledge it, will confess and say, well, we have many, well, I guess, hundreds, at least hundreds.
Well, doctor, with the last few minutes we do have in this special coverage, I do have to ask you, as we know, Netanyahu has told Biden that he will not stop his attack or aggression in Lebanon until Hezbollah is gone, basically. Do you believe he indeed will do this, or is there anything that can happen to stop Netanyahu where he is and the war in Lebanon?
Nobody, it seems, yeah. And it's clear, nobody can stop Netanyahu except the resistance.
Yes.
Resistance can, as I said, teach Netanyahu a lesson that you cannot reinvade Lebanon, because the resistance who liberated the Lebanese territories from your army, is still ready to hit you and kick you out and teach you that the return to Lebanon is very costly.
Yeah.
And I guess Netanyahu is close to that, because now they are perplexed. They are hesitant to go into, especially their soldiers. They have brought four battalions to the south, but still they cannot. They are trying. They hit. They strike by the planes F-16, F-35, but to no avail. They could not achieve something that to let these fighters flee from the front. On the contrary, even on the borders, they think that the power or some groups of the resistance can penetrate the borders into the settlements.
Yes.
And that's why they are also perplexed. These drones of the resistance and these missiles of the resistance would lead to a kind of pessimism in the army, in the Israeli army, that they cannot reinvade Lebanon, and whatever they do of crimes, like 2006 and even 1996, when they made these Kana massacres and they tried to go into Litani River, but they did not succeed because the resistance was there. But now it is more powerful and more determined, and the spirit of Sayyid Nasrallah is there. We have to count on them, that they can do a lot. They can achieve a new victory, historical victory. Now is the greatest victory. Yeah. If they achieve it against the world, the Western world and the United States with this super technology, I guess the resistance would achieve a great victory and a great and a new ethos for the region and for the nation and for the freedom as a concept in the world.
Well, Doctor, very briefly, in perhaps around 40 seconds with what we have left, could you perhaps describe, or in your opinion, do you believe this war in Lebanon will continue for days, months, perhaps even years from what you know?
I think will be possible that the resistance might kill many individual or many soldiers,
yeah,
from the Israelis, from Labuna to Khiyam and to Marjayun and to Kfar Kila, Adaisi, whoever know the places, the borders between Palestine, all the front, from the sea to the mountains.
Yeah.
If they do that, I guess the war will stop soon. But the Israelis should be warned from committing new crimes and new massacres in the south and in other places where people were collected,
yes,
involuntarily collected in these places, in the schools or in the hospitals,
exactly,
like what they have done in Gaza.
Well, doctor, with that, our time has finished today. Dr. Mohsen Saleh, academic and political commentator, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching this special coverage. Until tomorrow, goodbye.